From the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, here's the news for This Day in Maine, Friday, August 26, 2016. I'm Andrew Catalina, in for Barbara Caridi. And on this day, Governor Paula Page has apologized for threatening a Democratic lawmaker in an obscene voicemail made public today, but insists that the anti-gay slur he used was less offensive than being called a racist. Democratic leaders have responded by saying he crossed a line, but LaPage's history of testing the line hasn't harmed him politically in the past. Those stories and more coming up.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and Kennebec Valley Community College, offering a late start semester beginning September 26th. kvcc.me.edu.
Governor Paula Page today issued an apology to the people of Maine for a threatening and obscenity-laden voicemail he left for a Democratic lawmaker. But LaPage also defended his right to be angry for assertions that he's a racist and dismissed calls for his resignation. In the first of two reports, Mal Leary explains how the drama that unfolded today has been building for months.
It was this past January when Governor LaPage told a town meeting in Bridgeton about black drug dealers coming to Maine selling their heroin and impregnating white girls. At a similar meeting in North Berwick this week, LaPage defended his assessment and revealed that he's been keeping a binder of news releases and photos of drug arrests across the state, which he says shows that most involve blacks and Hispanics.
90%+ of those pictures in my book, and it's a three-ring binder, are black and Hispanic people.
Then on Thursday, as LaPage faced mounting criticism from Democrats and others for what they say were his racially charged comments, he left this obscenity-laden voice message for one of his critics, Representative Drew Gattin of Westbrook.
Mr. Gattin, this is Governor Paul Richard LaPage. I would like to talk to you about your comments about my being a racist, you and you. I want to talk to you. I want you to prove that I'm a racist. I've spent my life helping black people, and you little son of a socialist cunt. I want you to record this and make it public because I am after you. Thank you.
The voicemail was made public and denounced by legislative leaders of both parties. Democrats went further, calling for LaPage to resign. The governor held a news conference and apologized for the language he used in the voicemail, saying that he lost his temper.
I'm not shying away from what I called him, because everything that came out of my mouth, everything I said to that man, is less insulting than being called a racist, in my mind.
LaPage says he would consider apologizing to Gattin if Gattin apologizes to him for calling him a racist. At a Portland news conference, Gattin denied that he had ever made such a remark.
I didn't call the governor a racist. That's an awful thing to call somebody. I choose my words very carefully. I think his comments were racially charged and unhelpful, and I stand behind those comments, but I didn't call him a racist.
LaPage also dismissed calls for his resignation. He told reporters that he would resign if Gattin and a list of other lawmakers from both parties that he declined to name would also resign and not seek re-election.
You're telling me that I need to resign because someone used the most vile word in the world in a person that's been discriminated against growing up, who's been kicked around by the Irish, by the Italians, because he was a poor French kid. And I'm going to resign out of that. No.
The governor insisted several times that the race of drug dealers does not matter to him, that he has just been citing the facts. According to FBI statistics for 2014, of the more than 1,200 people arrested in Maine for the sale and manufacture of drugs, about 14% were black. Portland police report a similar percentage. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
State lawmakers in both parties roundly denounced the governor's voicemail and subsequent threat. Democratic leaders say he crossed a line and that he's unfit for office. But as Steve Missler reports, both LePage and Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump have demonstrated a willingness to test the boundaries of acceptable conduct for public officials, and they've been repeatedly rewarded for it.
At a press conference in Portland, Representative Drew Gittin told reporters that he was truly taken aback by the tone of LePage's voicemail.
You know, when I got that message yesterday, my first thought was that I was really glad that I wasn't in the room with him when he left it, because he really sounded like somebody who, you know, was about to commit physical violence, and it was really a stunning message.
Assistant House Leader Sarah Gideon then called for what she described as a political intervention. Republican leaders were needed, she said, to convince the governor that he had finally gone too far.
Because this kind of behavior is not normal behavior. It is not just not what we expect of our chief executive or governor. It's also not what we expect of any human being who is functioning normally in society.
In a statement, Republican Senate President Michael Thibodeau said politics have become far too personal, damaging public institutions. Members of his caucus were dismayed at the governor's comments, he said, and House Minority Leader Kenneth Fredette echoed that sentiment.
I have concerns of elected officials, whether they be representatives or governors, calling people, you know, bigots, calling people racist, or calling people, I'm going to shoot you between the eyes. Not acceptable in today's society.
LePage has an established history of controversial comments and behavior. 6 years ago, he told the NAACP to kiss his butt. There was also an outcry when he described a Democratic legislator as having a black heart who, quote, gave it to the people without providing Vaseline. And LePage was widely denounced for announcing that he wanted to blow up a newspaper after climbing into a flight simulator. None of this has harmed LePage politically, as Democrats had hoped. He easily won re-election 2 years ago. Democrats and some Republicans have worried that the election result has enabled the governor to double down on conduct that by conventional standards was considered politically damaging. Representative Drew Gittin says LePage is stretching the boundaries.
This is a pattern. This is repeated. This is happening all the time. Every time you think the governor has crossed the line, he sets another line and crosses it again.
Well, I would say we're in the sewer, and this is another piece of garbage floating by.
Larry Sabato is the director for the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia, and he has followed state and national politics for decades. He says LePage's recent comments probably won't cost him. One need only look to the current Republican presidential nominee, he said, to see why.
He was Trump before Trump. And now I'm sure he feels vindicated, because the whole country, at least the Republican part of it, has embraced the guy who's just like him.
Donald Trump's rise to the Republican nomination has confounded political observers. He's made a litany of disparaging comments about women, calling some pigs and dummies. He mocked the disability of a New York Times reporter. And he even criticized the family of a slain Gold Star Army captain, an act long considered political taboo. His supporters have rallied behind him, and that includes LePage, who called the soldier's father a con artist just this week. Sabato says that it's not that politicians before LePage and Trump didn't curse or use coarse language. President Richard Nixon was known for it. So was Lyndon Johnson. Even Ed Muskie, the respected United States Senator from Maine, had a salty tongue, he said. The difference, he says, is
you had enough respect for the public and for public decency that you did not do and say these kinds of things publicly.
But Sabato says elected officials such as LePage have been rewarded by voters for their behavior, and it will be up to voters to decide where the new lines are.
The people of Maine are the only ones who could have done something about it, and they chose not to. And now they are stuck with the consequences.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, and his vice presidential running mate, former Massachusetts Governor William Weld, were in Maine today searching for support among voters dissatisfied with the Democratic and Republican parties' options. Fred Bever reports.
Reducing the federal government's size and scope, strengthening air and sea power while withdrawing American troops abroad, ending the corporate tax and simplifying the tax code, ending the war on drugs. Just a few of the themes Johnson touched on in his speech to about 100 enthusiastic listeners in downtown Portland.
And immigration, embracing immigration. We're a country of immigrants. This whole notion of building a fence across the border, of deporting 11 million undocumented workers, has a basis in complete misinformation.
Some in attendance said they were habitual independent voters, but Linda Scott, who chairs the Lewiston School Committee, is a lifelong Republican who voted for Donald Trump in the recent primary. Then she saw Trump in person at one of his Portland appearances.
Some of the comments that he made about the people of Maine and our immigrant population, especially as a woman that works with our immigrant population in Lewiston, I was very disappointed in what I heard, and that's what changed my opinion right there.
Scott says she could never vote for Hillary Clinton either, while the Johnson-Weld ticket presents a rational alternative. She was even scheduled to speak at their evening rally scheduled in Lewiston, where some 600 people were expected to attend. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
The summer has been a dry one for some areas of the state, particularly in the Southwest, which has experienced a severe drought this year. Maine's next season, leaf peeping, may also take a hit.
With less water, you get less transpiration, you get less food being made by the leaves, so there's less sugars, so you have a little less byproduct showing up as color.
That's Dave Strubel with the Maine Forest Service. He says leaf displays in areas of the state that have been thirsting for water may be more low-key than usual.
It's possible that we won't see the brilliance overall, you know, on average, that we would otherwise have seen. So the colors may be a little more muted.
But the upside, says Struble, is that the dry conditions have cut down on other foliar diseases that can cause spots to form and leaves to curl up and drop off. And he says while the south has been dry, the northern half of Maine has seen decent rainfall and should experience excellent leaf displays. The state of Maine will post regular leaf updates at mainefoliage.com. U.S. Senator Susan Collins is applauding a new rule being proposed by the U.S. Department of Transportation. The proposed rule equips large vehicles, such as trucks and buses, with speed-limiting devices and caps the speed at which they can travel. The department's proposal would require all newly manufactured vehicles with a gross weight of more than 26,000 pounds to come equipped with the speed-limiting devices. The proposed rule considers speed caps of 60, 65, and 68 miles per hour. Collins calls such a proposal overdue and maintains that the change will reduce injuries and highway fatalities. And she says the lower speed limits will reduce greenhouse gas emissions and save millions in fuel. The proposal is currently open for public comment. And that's the news on this day in Maine, Friday, August 26th, 2016. Our theme music was composed by Robert Holt. Thanks to our news leaders, Keith Shortall and Susan Charon, and to Fred Bever, AJ Higgins, Mal Leary, Steve Missler, and Jennifer Mitchell for their contributions. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the podcast. You can rate and comment in iTunes or email us at tdim@mpbn.net. I'm Andrew Catalina. For all of us here at Maine Public Broadcasting, thanks for listening.